Our first reading that we hear about the Easter story comes to us from the Gospel according to Mark, the earliest gospel written. And Amy will share this story from the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Listen to the word of God.
Now, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices and brought them to anoint Jesus. Very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. Now they had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us?" But when they got there, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised. And so go and tell Peter and the disciples that you will see him. He is going ahead of you to Galilee, just as he told you." And so they went out and they fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we come like those first women, not always knowing what to expect, but hoping against hope that your word might be true. And we give you thanks, O God, for gathering at this place to trust in the promise of the gospel. In Christ we pray. Amen. Well, this weekend, as I've watched the news and scrolled through Facebook, I've been amused at a number of the sayings that I've seen. A few people, of course, have said Happy Easter. Mostly I've seen On Wisconsin! And that ever hopeful phrase, Go Cubs! It got me thinking about all the sayings that we hear a lot. It turns out there are dozens of favorite sayings which turn into something of a slogan to live by. It is what it is, you hear a lot, or live and let live. Sometimes you hear, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, or God helps those who help themselves. These sayings become mantras of a sort, slogans to live by. One of my dad's favorite sayings was, "Do it right or don't bother doing it at all," which in the 1960s collided with my older brother's theme song, "Grab all the gusto you can." At the end of the day, each of us has to choose which mantras or life lessons we'll live by, and we don't all have the same ones. Matt Fitzgerald found this out the hard way at a neighbor's dinner party in Minneapolis in the dead of winter one year. He says, our hosts were a middle-aged Finnish couple named Eva and Nils, the kind of gloomy Northern Europeans who only come out of the sauna to make sure the world hasn't become cheerful in their absence. He says, I was assigned a seat between Nils and another young neighbor, a college student named Stephen. This made me the referee in the drinking contest between a depressive Finn and an excitable frat brother. As the evening wore on and these two got deeper in their cups, it became apparent that they approached life with starkly differing philosophies. Stephen was concerned with making it big, earning the maximum amount of pleasure in the shortest possible time. Nils simply wanted to crawl into a dark room with heated rocks. Stephen prattled on, "I should write a mystery novel. I could make a mint. Or maybe I should go to law school. What do you think?" And Nils answered, "What does it matter? Or I could go into computers, maybe in some city with good rock climbing. Why bother? Honestly, I think what I should do first is learn how to sail and then become a doctor. I could retire early and live on my boat. Or you could drown." It seemed, Matt says, not so much as an argument as people from two different planets trying to have a conversation. Matt is right. Two different people with vastly different ways of seeing how the world works. The life lesson Nils lived by is that nothing lasts anyway, so why bother? Pain and suffering, loss and fear, the endless cold of the Minnesota winter, that's all that endures. The life lesson Stephen lived by is the sky's the limit, go for it, full throttle, pursuing success, reveling in pleasure, seizing the day, these are the things that really matter. So which is it? What life lesson is it? What mantra or slogan is it that you live by, that you trust in your heart of hearts? We all have them. They get stuck in our heads and direct our lives, whether we're aware of them or not. You know what I find funny? It really wasn't any different in Jesus' lifetime. It wasn't. Some of the life lessons were exactly the same. Stephen's motto, grab all the gusto, it belonged to the hedonists back then. Nils' theme song, none of it matters anyway, that was sung by the cynics then. We still call them cynics. Keep calm and carry on. May belong to the British now, but it belonged to the Stoics in Jesus' day. And of course, we still have our modern day priests and Pharisees, don't we? Those who bet their lives on keeping the letter of the law and tisk-tisking over everybody else. But in his day, just as now, there are a few who are listening to Jesus and discovering that he has a very different life lesson to tell. Jesus said that the point of life is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, more than you love power or possessions, or people's opinion of you. It was so different than the message that the wealthy hedonists or cynical political leaders taught. And Jesus taught that loving others was the highest virtue in life, that you should love your neighbor as yourself, to love them whether you like them or not, whether you like them or their politics or their lifestyle. It was so different than the message that the fussy priests and Pharisees taught. And Jesus said the point of the church is to love one another as I have loved you, he said. And no one has greater love than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. It was so different than the message of self-preservation that the Stoics taught. And those followers of Jesus then, they dared to hope that he was right, that love really is the point of life. Should it really surprise us that Jesus was killed for saying what he did, for believing what he did, for his counter-narrative about what really matters? Should it surprise us that Jesus was crucified for threatening the way of life that kept everything in its place? I don't think it should surprise us at all. And in a way, it seems almost inevitable, because what he said contradicted just about everything that everybody else said was supposed to matter. And maybe the life lesson his followers got was this, that it's dangerous to love, that it's risky to follow Jesus, that it isn't worth it in the end. And then came Easter morning, and everything changed. Just when his followers thought they'd finally gotten it right, that death was the last word and love was fruitless and the only thing left to do was anoint Jesus' dead, cold body, just when they thought they'd learned their lesson, they came to the tomb and the stone was rolled away. And an angel told them that Jesus was raised and he would go ahead of them to Galilee. And suddenly, everything they thought was true was turned upside down again. And it startled them. And it startled them with wonder. What if everything Jesus said really was true? And it pressed them to make this crucial choice. Could they dare with their lives to believe what he told them? Could they dare to believe it was true? Today here, right now, on Easter morning, it's our turn to be faced with that same choice. We have a choice about what really to believe. We have a choice about which truth we will really live by. And I wonder which one it will be for you. Will it be only the strong survive? Or will it be love one another? Will it be grab all the gusto? Or will it be lay down your life for your friends? At its heart, that's the question that faces us today on Easter. Which life lesson do you trust? When push comes to shove, which motto will you live by? Which theme song will you sing? I'll confess that sometimes it is so much easier to wear one of the self-protective mantles of skepticism or cynicism. Sometimes when a neighbor is especially cruel, it is safest to figure we're in it alone. And sometimes when a job caves in or illness takes someone far too young, it's safest to figure we should just pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. And sometimes when cruelty masquerades as righteousness, then it's safest to assume that the church is always just going to be full of hypocrites. But if that's all there was, then my guess is none of you would be here this morning, none of you. You'd be making brunch or reading the paper. You'd be going for a walk along the lake. You'd be sleeping in. Instead, you're here. You're here. Because maybe, just maybe, the promise of Easter is real. And maybe, just maybe, what Jesus taught us might be true. And maybe you'd just rather live with kindness and hope than believe that hate and bitterness wins. So here's my challenge to you. What if tomorrow, and the next day, and the day after that, what if you choose a new life slogan for yourself? Instead of "it is what it is," what if you choose "for God so loved the world"? Instead of "to each their own," what if you choose "love one another"? Instead of "pull yourself up by the bootstraps," what if you choose "be merciful just as you have been shown mercy"? Here's the life lesson I have bet my life on: that Jesus was right. That Jesus was right. That love is stronger than hate. That God can overcome evil with good. That death is not the last word. That compassion will always trump cruelty. I've bet my life on it, and I invite you to bet your life on it too. And I want you to start right now with the words that we know by heart. And I invite you to say them as if you really believe them, until it becomes the motto of your life. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Amen.